Blackstone Audiobooks presents 25 Things to Say to the Interviewer to Get the Job You Want. Being Qualified Isn't Enough by Dexter Hawk. Why You Should Read This Book. If you're looking for a job that lets you do what you're good at, pays you what you're worth, read this book. And if you want to make your dreams come true, read it over and over again. It takes a lifetime to learn these life lessons. But you don't have that kind of time. And no one is going to teach them to you. There just aren't that many good bosses around. Most of them are selfish, busy, or under the gun. Here's a one-of-a-kind book that'll teach you how to get past interviewers. But that's the half of it. It'll also teach you the life lessons you need to succeed in business, in your career, in your life. When you finish reading this book, you'll know that it takes most successful people at least half a lifetime to learn. Lucky you found it. How to get the job you want. You instinctively know being qualified isn't enough, and you're right. There are thousands of qualified people around. They send out resumes, they go on interviews, they jump through company hoops, but only a few get the jobs they want. How? By telling the interviewer what he wants to hear. That's the way to get the job you want. By the way, think of cover letter and resume readers as interviewers, too. They just don't do it face-to-face. Don't fret. Don't ponder why. That's the way life is. Interviewers are life's gatekeepers. They stand between you and the job you want. You get past them so you can work, pay your bills, and live your dreams. 25 Secrets You Should Know. The interviewer doesn't want to hear a recitation of your resume. By the time he's interviewing you, he's already read your resume. He knows you're qualified. That's not the issue anymore. You wouldn't be in his office if it were. He now wants to hear 25 things from you, 25 secrets you should know before your job interview. He won't tell you what they are. We will. 25 things to say to the interviewer to get the job you want, written the way you say them, so you won't forget. You can also glance at the quick summaries just before your interview. Take them to heart, live them, and use them. They'll get you past interviewers, supercharge your career, and enrich your life. Every facet of it, so don't wait another minute. Let's get started, now. Before we get started, remember these. Think of each interview as your only interview. This might add to your tension, but it'll focus your mind. Same thing with your cover letter and resume. Except, in your cover letter, work in half a dozen of the 25. The interviewer gives you one chance to make an impression, to corral the job. Look good, dress well, act confident, stand tall. Speak with passion and a full voice. Look him in the eye, smile, and give him a firm handshake. Now, read on, and go make your dreams come true. 1. I don't guess or assume anything. And I don't like uncertainty. I never say, I thought so-and-so was going to do such-and-such. Nor do I say, I've got that deal in the bag. I only bank on what I've worked hard to conceive, to plan, to create. I don't play the odds with my work either. I have a bad feeling they won't go my way. They never do. Haphazardly managed tasks usually turn out badly. I've gone down that track and learned the hard way. I do rely on people, and I do delegate. That's the way I get my work done fast, but I don't make assumptions or decisions without knowing my mission, without being sure of the facts, before checking with everyone, and without nailing down my sources. Things change. Alliances shift. New facts come into play. People change their minds. Guesses aren't good enough. Bosses hate uncertainty. Their job is always to make sure, to nail down. Reliance on the presumed performance of other people, or even computers, will only disappoint you and your boss. And disappointed bosses are deadly for your career. Besides, other people don't always have your success in mind, nor do their agendas always coincide with yours. 2. I'm ready for problems before my boss and they are staring me in the face. People make mistakes. Things go wrong. Colleagues go on vacation, subordinates don't show up, computers crash, equipment breaks. That's the way life is. In the office, on the factory floor, anywhere. I set aside a little extra time and think of a few backup plans before the deadline and my boss are staring me in the face. I go over my checklist. I call everyone. I send reminder emails. I make sure my team talks to each other. I let everyone know how things are going every step of the way, and I give my boss regular updates. There's a sweet payoff. I'll face fewer ugly surprises, fewer foul-ups, and therefore fewer problems, fewer headaches. And I won't be scurrying around at the last minute, nor will I be badgering my team. No cold sweat, no fire-breathing bosses. No one really cares how you got the job done or who or what caused you problems. Everybody has problems. You're not the only one. All your boss cares about is whether the job is done. You have the responsibility. Now, he looks to you to get it done, and done right. Be a professional-grade doer. Don't disappoint him. He won't give you very many chances. 3. I stand up and take responsibility when things go wrong. I never blame anyone else, especially when I know I botched it. It's my fault. Laying blame on a subordinate, colleague, supplier, a new hire, or a computer is the painless way out. I know. And laying it on a customer or my boss is out of the question. I don't even think about it. Since things went wrong while I was in charge on my project or on something with my name on it, I deserve the blame and take the hit. I also take the responsibility for taking care of it, for fixing it, for patching up ruffled feathers. And I learn from the disaster, so I won't repeat it. Nor will it happen again while I'm in charge. Because I know, the second time around, boss trouble will be knocking on my door. I don't want to disappoint my friends, nor do I want to thrill my enemies. Bosses like people who stand up and say, "It was my fault, I'm sorry, I'll fix it, and it won't happen again." This will give you more points than if you try to pass it off on a subordinate, supplier, colleague, a new hire, or a computer. And lightning will strike if you even mention a customer or your boss. Or, heaven forbid, you acted befuddled. Don't be a wimp. Be bold. Your boss wants to know he can count on you when something goes wrong. 4. I crank out more work than is expected of me. I'd like people to know who I am, what I'm doing, and what I'm accomplishing. My colleagues, my boss, and his boss. People who'll determine my business fate. I don't want to be a cubicle dweller forever. The only tried and true way is to crank out more work, to come in early, to put in 10-12-hour days, to come in on Saturdays, to work all night, and to bunk in my office if I have to. The payoff? More work, harder tasks, and tighter deadlines, but also bonuses, raises, and promotions. These are the enduring laws of business. I also know I have to be mindful not to show up my coworkers, and never my boss, or demand too much of my subordinates. They might resent my hard work, or my riding herd, which in the end will antagonize my colleagues and dishearten my team, whose spirited hard work underpins my rise, and whose brawn shields my fall. Hunkering down and cranking it out, no matter what anybody says, is the only sure way to the top. Hard work doesn't kill people. Boredom and disease do. Not many people slacked their way or sweet-talked their way to the top. You've always known this, so the sooner you get started on hard work, the sooner you'll get to the corner office, where you'll have to work even harder. 5. I compete fair and square. I'm competitive. I want to win. I want to succeed, but never at the price of ravaging the careers of people I work with, toying with their livelihoods, admonishing them for effect, or doing things that even come close to being underhanded. I stay close to the golden rule and think of fairness, hard work, and loyalty as forever virtues. Life's tougher this way, but it's more rewarding. Some people say these values are old-fashioned, that their time is past. I disagree. They've done people good, and I know your company stands for these values. I compete and win fair and square. No flim-flams, no shenanigans. Companies don't want backstabbing cutthroats. They wreak havoc in the office and on the plant floor. They demoralize people around them. Companies instead want people who work hard, compete hard, are fair, and don't step over the prostrate bodies of their vanquished colleagues to reach the corner office. They reach it without long knives, without trapdoors. The carnage ruins good people and stellar careers. Business is a contact sport, not a blood sport. 6. I've serious goals. I work hard for them. I come in. I know what needs to get done. I get it done. I do my work. I don't waste time. And I don't call in sick on sunny Friday mornings or at the hint of a snivel. I'm in great shape. My work is my duty, my responsibility, not burden, and never something I have to do to get by. Getting by is a dead end. I have big dreams. I have serious goals. To reach them, I know I have to work seriously and hard. That's what I've done since high school. There are no shortcuts, and there are no easy ways out. I deliver good work, right, and on time. In a word, I'm dependable. Always. No one likes a goof-off. Co-workers resent them. Bosses can't stand them. Neither can depend on the person to reliably deliver, so they end up carrying the entire load. But only for a time. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, you can't fool all of the people all of the time. In the end, the person has to shape up, or he'll be forced out. 7. I write lucid, succinct memoranda. This story made me change my writing style. In 1941, in the middle of World War II, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill sent this memorandum to the First Lord of the Admiralty. Pray state this day, on one side of a sheet of paper, how the Royal Navy is being adapted to meet the conditions of modern warfare. See? The Royal Navy. I write in simple English, using the fewest words, and I get to the point quickly. I know my boss has little time to waste. I can be a lot more persuasive if he knows what I want right away. In the headline, in the lead sentence, in the first paragraph. And I don't use this skill in anger. I know it'll come back to haunt me. Few business memoranda need to be longer than 1 or 2 pages. Keep business letters to 4 or 5 paragraphs on one page. If you're writing longer memoranda, you're either repeating yourself or are including irrelevant facts. What you're reading is a life-changing book, not a business memorandum. Have mercy on your readers. Don't bore them. If you do, they'll be less inclined to say yes to what you're asking them to do. You can't bore people into submission. 8. I'm always on time. My boss, colleagues, subordinates, customers, and my family depend on me to do my work. They also depend on me to do it on time, every time. Some even insist on it. I don't disappoint them. I don't let them down. How could I? I've given my word to people I work with, and my family depends on me to work and earn a living. I'm obligated to do what I've given my word to do, and I'm honor-bound to do it on time. I know sometimes it seems compulsive to be so obsessed about punctuality, but what's the alternative? Being late and having to explain and grovel and apologize for it won't cut it in business. And none of these are accepted or admired values either. Everything I do reflects my values, my standards, my persona, and, in the end, is judged and evaluated by the people around me. Being on time is a hardcore life ethic for me. I try hard to live by it. Your boss and colleagues schedule their work and reciprocal commitments based on a schedule that depends on your being on time, giving them what they need on time. Your customers also count on your delivering on time, or sooner. Everyone depends on your commitments, on your word. If you want to get anywhere in business, never let them down. 9. I'll get to know people in my business. My work, success, livelihood, my entire career depend on the support and goodwill of everyone in my business, inside my company and outside, who can also stall my career or unhinge it altogether. First, I want to know everything about my company, what products we're making, what services we're rendering, how we're pricing them. Who are our suppliers? Who are our customers, big and small? And what can I do for my colleagues, or how they might reciprocate? Then, outside my company, I want to know who's who, what's what, who's hot, who's not, and what people in my business can do to boost my company and advance my career. I call people, and I write to them, with business news, product and service news, milestones, and slivers of personal news. I go see them at their offices, and visit with them at business lunches, dinners, and conventions. I get to know everyone. They get to know me. People make favorable decisions for their friends and acquaintances. They buy from people they know and recommend their products and services to their friends. It's a fact of life. Doing business with people you know is better than doing business with people you don't know. That includes hiring people you know. One happy circle. Being inside the circle is good for your business, and it's good for your career. 10. I read business and trade magazines. Going to school, taking courses, and getting a degree is one thing. But to stay on top of what's going on in my business, I read every business and trade magazine I can get my hands on. I don't do it to impress interviewers or my boss. It's the only way to keep up with the fickle consumer and the ever-changing marketplace. Who's doing what? What new ideas are there? What new products and services are announced and introduced? What's hot, what's not? Who's in, who's out? Leader profiles. Executives, innovators, young stars. Fresh ideas. Consumer trends. New products and services aren't in textbooks. A few might find their way in 5 or 10 years down the road. No one can wait that long. They'll be stale by then anyway. I need to know now. Without my trade magazines, I couldn't get my work done right or speak knowledgeably about my business. Things are changing fast. I want to keep up. I want to stay on top of things. Companies pay you for what you can do for them with your knowledge, skills, and persona, with your brilliance, enthusiasm, and tenacity. With the relentless pace of change in every business, what you learn in school needs to be updated and augmented continually. And your persona should project your fresh knowledge and ideas. Tell people. Show them what you know. 11. I fit in anywhere. I also adjust easily. I get along with line workers at the plant, salesmen on the road, accountants in back offices, advertising types from New York, Chicago, San Francisco, or Los Angeles, and executives in corner offices, even the chiefs on the top floor. People or situations don't faze me, nor do they stop me from approaching, meeting, relating, and connecting with people from all walks of life, with every position and title. I know people from all walks of life. Their social position or business title hasn't gotten in the way of my knowing them. Who they are, what they think, what they do, how they got there, I can learn something from them and can be a part of their lives, as I want them to be a part of mine. I'm sure they'll enrich it. Never say you're a people person. It sounds trivial, hackneyed, and besides, everyone else says it. You have to imprint your own style. People like authentic personalities. Affirm your self-confidence by the ease with which you meet people, speak with them, express your opinions, and elicit theirs. Enjoy the moment, and tell them you did. 12. I understand boss speak. I know the friendliness of an innocuous request masks the seriousness of a drop-dead demand. My boss says to me, "When you get a chance, can you do this or that?" He's really saying, "Do this or that now." I understand boss speak and respond to it instantly. I don't have a choice. He thinks it needs to get done. There's nothing I can do to change his mind, and there's no point in trying. I also understand criticism in boss speak. "This is good work, but I wish you'd done it this way." He means he doesn't like my work and wants me to do it his way. I'll do it his way. I know my boss was once where I am now, knows a little more than I do, wants to show it and teach me a thing or two. I'll go along and learn something. To understand boss speak, you need to first accept him as your superior. You work for him. He pays your salary. He decides your business fate. These realities translate his language. There's no dictionaries, no seminars, no night courses, and he isn't going to diagram it for you either. You just have to listen and learn. Do it now. Do it fast. 13. I'm looking for a career. I love the job you're interviewing me for. I'm so glad I made the cut to come in. I admire your company, and I'd like you to know I'm not a job hopper. I'm looking for a real job, a career. I like working for a company where I can work hard and showcase what I know and what I can do, where I'm part of a hardworking team and can remain as long as I'm creating, producing, and doing a good job. I'm also looking for a decent salary, so I'll know your company values my hard work. You hear people say, "We can't find dedicated employees anymore." Well, you're interviewing one now. I sound idealistic, and I am. The company will spend a lot of time and money training and assimilating you. They don't want you to be marking time until something better comes along, or for you to be using them to put a notch on your resume. Too many notches on resumes don't look good anyway. And loyalty is reciprocal in every relationship, including business. 14. I have a sense of humor. But I don't kid around all the time. People are busy. I've got things to do. There isn't time. I see humor in my workaday life and in the lives of my family and friends. I also don't take myself too seriously. I see people who do, every day, especially in business. They're aloof, pompous, and without heart and soul. These are the opposites of attributes I try to attain and with which I want to make my way in the world. My sense of humor, my exuberance, come in handy in touchy situations, especially when an argument is fast rolling towards an ugly quarrel. With cantankerous co-workers, ornery suppliers, or let's say, challenging customers. With humor, or a little story, I stop the train wreck and get everyone back to taking care of business, solving problems, making a sale. Bosses think people with a sense of humor perform better than the somber kind. They think sad dogs spread gloom, but laughter lifts spirits. But don't tell your boss you're funny. He might think you don't take your job seriously. And you know he wants you to be dead serious about what you're doing. No office clowns or plant jesters, please. Remember, money is at stake, and careers are on the line, especially yours. 15. I take a stand only on big issues. I take a stand on big issues, pivotal ones, the ones that can make or break a project or my career. Taking a stand on small ones would show pettiness, so I compromise on small ones, making it hard for people to say no to me. Life in business, or life anywhere, is full of misunderstandings, differences, and disagreements. I don't think it's useful to try to win every one of them, most of them, or keep score. My winning at any cost will bruise egos and destroy friendships, which I don't want and can't afford. Letting my colleagues, even subordinates, and always bosses, win fortifies their dignity and nourishes their self-image, which I'm sure they won't forget. I want to be a member of a self-assured, motivated team rather than a beaten-down, demoralized band of argued-out drones. Never try to beat everyone on every point, even when you know you're right, even when the hard facts line up on your side. Sooner or later, the resentments pile up, and you no longer can count on the loyalty and support of your colleagues or even subordinates. And never argue with your boss. One way or the other, you'll lose. Every time. Sixteen. I don't dismiss or underestimate anyone. Nor do I put anyone down. I don't think of any of my subordinates, colleagues, peers, suppliers, or, heaven forbid, bosses and customers, as an inferior, a mediocre drone. First, they're not. Nor do they think they are. They wouldn't be where they're at if they were. Everyone has a special gift, a certain self-image, and a contribution to make. Secondly, a superior attitude would infect my dealings with people around me and corrode my work and business life, which will, in short order, damage my relationships, diminish my productivity, and stunt my career. Not an outcome that I want, nor one that my family and friends would want for me. I don't dismiss my competitors or adversaries either. They're tenacious, not lame-brained. In a fast-changing, rough-and-tumble marketplace, I keep a sharp eye on every one of them. Everyone wants to be respected, wants to be made to feel special. Valuing everyone's opinions and contributions will generate goodwill for you. This will translate into support, propel you in achieving your goals, and assure your ascent in life and business. That's a generous payoff for simply respecting everyone around you, no matter how lowly or lofty their position in life or title. Your hard-charging competitors are working day and night to introduce a better product, a cheaper service, or capture market share from you. Never take your eye off of them, nor underestimate them. 17. I get to know and learn what everyone is doing in my company, especially the movers and shakers. I first ask myself, what's the big picture of my company? What business we're in, what products we make, what services we render, who are our customers, who are our suppliers, what are our goals, where's our company going, and how soon we'll get there. Then, I get to know the people, what they're doing, and how they're doing things, especially the ones who are moving and shaking the company, the founders, the stars. I meet as many of them as I can, get to know them, learn their stories, my relationship with them, and the syncing of my goals with theirs and those of my company will likely make my career, its pace, its direction, and its destination. Every company has a character. The character of a company is reflected in its people and is a derivative of them, especially the movers and shakers. So, the sooner you know who does what and how, the sooner you can contribute to and determine the character and goals of your company, and the sooner you can lead it.
18.
I don't waste time settling scores. I know I can't win every dispute, not every argument, or even every point. When I lose, I keep my composure. I accept it with dignity. Not anger. And as a reality of dealing with people, doing business, getting things done, not as a personal offense to me. I don't look glum, I don't brood, and I don't throw tantrums. Nor do I scheme and plot to get even. There just isn't time. But I prepare thoroughly for the next time. Because I don't want to lose back to back. It'll look bad. People will think I can't cut it, or I don't have it. People who hold grudges and settle scores shortchange getting along, working hard and getting things done. I'm not petty either. There are always reasons not to like someone, especially if you've lost a round or two to them. But what's the gain? Nurturing hard feelings doesn't get the work done. I want to get the work done and move on to the next task. To actuate your grudge, to settle scores, you'll need to solicit the support of your allies, colleagues, and your boss. and pay for it with time and hard-earned business IOUs. Don't do it. Their sympathies will evolve into pity and resentment. Right next to disdain and dislike, these emotions aren't good for your business relationships, nor will they advance your career. They'll diminish your persona, and could crash and burn your career. Be big. Be formidable. Be inspiring. Be unrelenting. These will get you to the corner office. 19. I deliver on my promises. I get the job done right and on time, no matter how many things go wrong or what's thrown in my way. I depend on my subordinates to get their work done. My co-workers and my boss depend on me. Excuses, valid or made up, produce scorn, not sympathy. And scorn is the last thing I need from my colleagues or my boss. I want them to believe, know, and trust that they can depend on me, that I deliver on my promises, especially when things go wrong, when deadlines loom. Only when I'm hooked up to a life support system in a hospital will I call in and say, "I'm sorry, I can't finish my work. My life is kind of touch and go." No one is interested in why the work wasn't done. They have their own problems. They don't want to be burdened with yours. So, buckle down and get the work done right and on time. Show guts under pressure. Never try to slip and slide out of your responsibilities. Subordinates lose confidence in you. Colleagues resent it. Bosses hate it. And they'll hammer you for it. 20. I don't whine, and I don't complain. What's the point of whining or complaining? None. We have work to do. There's no upside. There's a huge downside. Nothing usually changes. It annoys people. It makes you look small. The last thing I want to do is annoy people I work with, or my boss, especially my boss. Instead, I want to dazzle them. I want to inspire them with my competence, optimism, and perseverance. What I whine or complain about might not be a big deal to people. When they hear me whine and complain, they'll think I'm petty, thin-skinned, or just plain not tough enough to handle my life, my job, and the pressures that come with them. I'm definitely tough enough to handle my job or any job that comes along, and I don't talk about my life. Besides, I don't want to be known as a whiner. Your colleagues and boss have their own complaints. They don't really want to hear yours. People say to you, "If something's bothering you, I want to hear about it." They don't mean it. So don't bother them with your problems. Nothing good is going to come out of it. Work hard, persist, and wait until you're the boss. Then, change things to your liking. 21. I've got a good sense of timing. I've the patience and discipline to wait for the right time to initiate things, to change things, or to ask for things. By wait, I don't mean endlessly, because I'm decisive, but only until the time is right. I know time is short, and I'm not the only one waiting to act. The success or failure of my last project, my company's latest quarterly report, or even my boss's mood can make the difference between a yes or a no, a go or no-go on a project, or even my promotion or firing. I always want people to say yes to me, and I certainly don't want to get fired, so I thread the time needle carefully. Nearly every human venture is based on feeling and perception. Yes, even business decisions. You have to time your needs and requests to cater to and optimize your boss's feelings and perceptions. There are no shortcuts, no easy ways around him, and you can't bull your way through him. Remember, he pays you, and only he can say yes or no to you. 22. I keep my mouth shut. I'm not a newsmonger. I don't talk about our company goings-on with outsiders, or even some insiders. Outsiders shouldn't know what's going on inside our company. And some insiders have no business knowing. So, I keep my mouth shut. Information is like water. It finds its way to all the wrong places. I want people around me to know they can trust me with information, especially the valuable kind. Job openings, financial data, new products, sales forecasts. Since information is a source of power and a tool of advancement, I want to get my hands on as much of it as I can. I never spill my guts to anyone. Not my subordinates, not my colleagues, not my boss. And I tell people not to whisper me rumors or gossip either. Everyone wants details, secrets, and company dirt. Don't give it to them. You never know what they'll do with it or what their agenda is. Politics and shenanigans make good conversation, too, but it's always at somebody's expense. Don't make conversation at somebody's, especially a colleague's or a boss's, any boss's, expense. Don't do it. People talk. Words get around. You get nailed. 23. I speak the truth. I know what they say about the amorality of business. I don't believe it. But morality aside, there's credibility. Nothing in business has as much value and is as fleeting. I want to be credible. I want to be believed. I want to be trusted. When I'm credible, believable, and trustworthy, I have authority. And power derives from authority. That's why truth is my touchstone of work. These might sound old-fashioned. Well, yes, they're old-fashioned. They're also good. That's why they've lasted so long. Time-tested American values are my everlasting standards. The currency of any business, inside or outside your company, with suppliers and customers, is credibility. To maintain and enhance the value of this currency, tell the truth, even when someone might not like it. Nothing will debase this currency or your credibility faster and more thoroughly than a lie. 24. I turn out good work. I also innovate, but I'm not a perfectionist. I do all the big and small things right. Nothing gets by me. People are always looking for flaws. I don't give them a chance. And I don't cut corners, because I'm proud of my work. What I turn out says a lot about me, my subordinates, my colleagues, my boss, my company. It also says I value my customers, and I fear their wrath. They're brutal nowadays. A couple of missteps, and they'll walk. There are suppliers everywhere. Customers want quality. I demand that of myself and my colleagues, co-workers, and subordinates alike. Pursuit of perfection sometimes brings on paralysis, which is a business death wish. Instead, spend time and money innovating. Then get the job done right, well, and on time. And always, the first time. Doing things over again costs your company time and money. Bosses hate spending money they could have saved had things been done right the first time. 25. I get along with my coworkers. I make myself get along with my boss. I'm on a team with a mission. To work hard, to turn out good work, and to turn a profit. Nitpicking, squabbling, quarreling, and hard feelings wreck the team and don't churn out profit. Bosses are interested in the production of profit. Not much else matters to them. I know I'm right most of the time, but my coworkers don't have to agree with me, nor applaud me. Now, about getting along with my boss. I always get along with my boss. Most of the time we get along because I turn out good work and get things done the way he wants them done. The rest of the time we get along because I work for him. He signs my paycheck, and I make myself get along with him. Your boss doesn't like petty, squabbling employees. It's not productive. It doesn't look good, especially to his boss. And he won't look like he's in charge. Your boss doesn't like hostile, backstabbing know-it-alls either. He does want to hear what you have to say, but he doesn't want to be contradicted, especially in front of your coworkers or his boss. Something extra. Always surprise people with something extra. Give them something more than what they expected. So, here's one more thing to say to the interviewer to get the job you want. 26. I listen. Some people only hear. I listen. Because what my subordinates, my colleagues, or my boss say matters to them. Therefore, it matters to me. I might use their contribution, or they might want me to do something. Either way, I listen. I acknowledge. I respond. This is how business gets done. People like and want to be heard. We think what we have to say has meaning and consequence, and bosses think so more than others. I indulge them, and I expect reciprocity, nothing less. Clear and precise speech, acknowledged and responded to, lubricates life and business. Perk up your ears and listen to your boss. Commands, demands, and dress-downs manage your company, and keep him in the corner office. Listen to what he says, and listen to what he doesn't say. And never say, I misunderstood, or I thought you said such and such. Your boss, colleagues, and even your subordinates will think you weren't listening, or worse, you aren't smart enough. Don't give them ammunition. Thank you. Thank you for reading this book. You're eager, hardworking, and ambitious. You want to get past life's gatekeepers so you can work, contribute, and flourish. And now, you know what it takes. Take these 26 real-life attributes, real-life lessons to heart. They'll enhance your career and enrich your life. We promise. Thank you again. This concludes the reading of 25 Things to Say to the Interviewer to Get the Job You Want. Being Qualified Isn't Enough, by Dexter Hawk. Copyright 2004 by Dexter Hawk. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Gerard Ocknooney and was produced in 2005 by Blackstone Audiobooks Incorporated, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording, nor any portion of it, may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. This book was read by Lloyd James. If you would like to obtain a complete catalog of our titles or our monthly update telling you about new releases and our new collection of books on CD and MP3 CD, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. You may also obtain the same information from our award-winning website. Our address, all one word, is www.blackstoneaudio.com. Thank you.